Welcome. Today we're diving into a topic that many people have heard of but may not fully understand: lumbar spinal stenosis. We'll break it down in a way that's easy to follow, whether you're a patient or just someone curious to learn more. The information shared in this episode comes from the spine education section of orthoeducation.com, a free, high-quality, peer-reviewed resource designed to help patients better understand musculoskeletal conditions. Please remember, this podcast is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with a musculoskeletal problem or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional. So let's start right there. Lumbar spinal stenosis, or LSS. What are we actually talking about here?
Well, in simple terms, LSS is basically when the open spaces, the canals inside your spine, start to get too narrow.
Okay, narrow spaces inside the spine. And the problem is what goes through those spaces, right?
Exactly. That narrowing puts pressure on the spinal cord itself and also the nerves that branch out and travel through the spine to your legs.
And we're focusing on lumbar, so the lower back. Is that where it usually happens?
Yeah, that's the most common spot, the lumbar spine. But, you know, it's worth mentioning the same kind of narrowing can happen up in the neck, too, the cervical spine.
Got it. Same issue, different location.
Yeah.
Now, who tends to get this? I understand it's often linked to age.
That's right. It overwhelmingly affects people over 50. That's the primary group we see.
So what's driving it in that age group? Is it just general wear and tear?
Pretty much. Age-related changes are definitely the main culprits. Think arthritis, which can lead to bone spurs growing into the canal. Also, the ligaments in the spine can thicken over time, taking up space. And then there are bulging or herniated discs, which can also press into that spinal canal.
Okay, so it's a combination of factors related to aging. What about younger people? Does it ever happen then?
It's much less common, but yes. In younger individuals, it might be due to a specific spinal injury, maybe a significant scoliosis, or sometimes people are just born with a spinal canal that's naturally a bit smaller.
Ah, so pre-existing anatomical thing.
Exactly. They start with less room, so maybe smaller age-related changes push them into symptomatic stenosis earlier.
That makes sense. Let's talk about those symptoms then. This feels like the part where listeners might really connect the dots. What does LSS actually feel like?
Right. The classic symptoms involve pain, sometimes tingling, numbness, or even weakness. And it's typically felt in the lower back, the buttocks, or radiating down into the legs.
Okay, but lots of things can cause leg pain. What's the specific pattern here, the real telltale sign?
The crucial insight, the thing that really points towards LSS, is that the symptoms get noticeably worse when you're standing or walking for a prolonged period.
So activities that involve being upright and mobile are the triggers.
Precisely. In more severe cases, someone might find they can barely stand upright or walk for more than a few minutes without those symptoms really flaring up.
And this leads to that interesting counterpoint, the relief mechanism. What makes it better?
Sitting down often brings relief. And very characteristically, bending forward helps a lot too.
Bending forward, why is that? What's happening mechanically?
It's quite neat, actually. When you flex your spine, bend forward, you temporarily increase the space within that spinal canal. The vertebrae sort of open up slightly at the back, and the ligaments stretch a bit.
Just enough to ease the pressure.
Just enough. It reduces that direct pressure on the spinal nerves. It's like giving them a little bit more breathing room.
Which totally explains why people with LSS often find relief leaning on a shopping cart.
Right.
Or walking slightly stooped over.
Exactly. That posture, leaning forward, it instinctively helps maintain that flexed position and reduce the nerve compression. It's the body finding a way to feel better.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So if someone comes in with that classic story, pain worsens walking, improves bending, how do you confirm it's actually LSS?
Well, the diagnostic journey starts, as you'd expect, with listening carefully to the symptoms and the patient's history. Then we do a physical exam.
What are you looking for in the exam?
We're checking things like muscle strength, reflexes, how easily they can move, trying to pinpoint any neurological signs consistent with nerve pressure.
But the history and exam point towards it, they don't definitively show the narrowing itself.
Correct. To actually see the structural narrowing and confirm the diagnosis, we need imaging tests.
Okay, imaging. What's the first step usually? X-rays?
Often, yes. X-rays are good for showing the bone structure. We can see changes like bone spurs, signs of arthritis, maybe alignment issues.
But X-rays don't show nerves very well, do they?
No, they don't show the soft tissues like nerves and discs clearly. That's where MRI scans come in. And MRI is really crucial.
Why is MRI so important here?
Because it gives us a detailed look at those soft tissues, the nerves, the spinal cord, the discs. It shows us precisely where the narrowing is happening and how severely it's impacting the nerves.
So MRI is usually the key confirmation tool. Are there other imaging options sometimes needed? I saw CT scans or something called a CT myelogram mentioned.
Yeah, those are options too. A regular CT scan also shows bone detail, well, maybe better than X-ray in some ways. A CT myelogram is a bit more involved.
How does that work?
For a CT myelogram, a special contrast dye is injected into the spinal fluid before the CT scan. That dye outlines the spinal cord and nerve roots, so the scan gives an incredibly detailed picture of exactly where the pressure points are. It's often used if someone can't have an MRI or if a surgeon needs very specific anatomical detail before an operation.
Okay, so once LSS is confirmed on imaging, what's the typical treatment path? Does everyone need surgery?
Oh, definitely not. Most people actually start with non-surgical or conservative treatments. Surgery is usually considered later if these aren't effective enough.
Right. So what does that conservative care usually involve?
It's often a multi-pronged approach. Physical therapy is very common.
How does PT help if the problem is a narrow canal? It can't widen it, can it?
No, it can't physically widen the canal, but PT is really important for improving flexibility, building core strength, and crucially, improving posture. It helps you learn how to move and position your body to minimize nerve pressure.
Ah, so learning to use that bending forward relief more effectively and functionally.
Kind of, yeah. Building supporting muscle strength helps stabilize the spine in better positions. We also often use anti-inflammatory medications like ibuprofen or similar drugs to reduce inflammation around the nerves.
And injections, are those part of it?
Yes. Sometimes short-term epidural steroid injections are used. These deliver anti-inflammatory medication directly near the irritated nerves in the spine to help calm down the pain and inflammation.
Makes sense. And I assume lifestyle plays a role too.
Absolutely. Things like avoiding activities that consistently aggravate the pain, using supportive shoes, and maintaining a healthy weight are all important parts of managing LSS conservatively. Less load on the spine is generally helpful.
We have been talking about lumbar spinal stenosis based on information from the spine education section of the free and peer-reviewed patient education website, OrthoEducation, at www.orthoeducation.com.
That's right. So all those conservative measures are the first line.
But what if they don't work? When does the conversation shift towards surgery?
Surgery is typically considered when someone has persistent pain or significant weakness despite trying several months of good conservative treatment. Or, you know, if the symptoms are so severe that they're really limiting daily activities, like making it very difficult to walk or stand.
Okay. And if surgery is needed, what's the most common procedure?
The most common operation is called a decompression laminectomy.
Laminectomy. Let's break that down. What does that mean?
Okay, so the lamina is part of the vertebra. It's essentially the bony roof covering the back of the spinal canal. In a laminectomy, the surgeon removes that lamina.
Removing the roof.
Exactly. By removing that bone and often thickened ligaments or bone spurs in that area too, you're physically creating more space for the nerves. You're decompressing them.
Literally taking the pressure off.
Precisely. Sometimes, if removing that bone might make the spine a bit unstable, the surgeon might also perform a spinal fusion at the same time, joining two or more vertebrae together to provide stability.
Right. Fusion adds stability, but maybe limits some flexibility there.
Sure.
As with any surgery, there are benefits and risks to weigh.
Of course. The potential benefits are significant improved ability to walk, reduced pain in the legs and back, but there are risks.
Such as?
Well, the standard surgical risks like infection or bleeding. There's also a risk of nerve injury during the procedure, though it's relatively low. If a fusion is done, there's a chance it might not heal properly, what we call a non-union. And some people might still have ongoing back pain or stiffness afterwards.
And recovery is an instant, I imagine.
No, definitely not. Recovery after spinal surgery, especially if it involves fusion, can take many months. It requires significant rehabilitation and patience. That's a really important expectation to set.
Okay, let's talk prognosis. Long term, how do people generally do with LSS, whether they have surgery or stick with conservative care?
With conservative care, many people find they can manage their symptoms pretty well. They might improve, although the symptoms can sometimes fluctuate, you know, good periods and bad periods. It's often about finding a sustainable level of activity.
And for those who do have surgery, what are the outcomes like?
Generally, the results are quite good for appropriately selected patients. Studies suggest around 70 to 80% of patients who undergo surgery experience significant improvement in their pain and walking ability.
That sounds pretty positive.
It is, but it's also important to note that good results doesn't always mean being completely pain-free forever. Many patients, even with successful surgery, might still have some level of mild back discomfort. The main goal is usually restoring function and quality of life.
Are there things that might predict a less successful surgical outcome?
Yes, some factors seem to be linked to less optimal results. For example, having symptoms for a very long time, like many years, before having surgery. Also, having had previous surgery on the lumbar spine can sometimes make outcomes less predictable. And being significantly older, say over 70, can sometimes be associated with tougher recoveries, though age alone isn't a strict barrier.
That really highlights the importance of getting a proper diagnosis and discussing options in a timely way.
It does.
So, wrapping up the long view, it seems like consistent management is key, regardless of the path taken.
Absolutely. Whether you manage LSS conservatively or have surgery, things like regular appropriate exercise, using good body mechanics in daily life, and maintaining a healthy lifestyle, those are all crucial for long-term well-being with this condition.
We have just discussed lumbar spinal stenosis based on information from the free, easy-to-understand patient education website, OrthoEducation, available at www.orthoeducation.com. Please remember, this podcast is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with an injury or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional.
You know, reflecting on all this, I think what's really striking about LSS is just how direct that mechanical link is. The way simply changing your posture, just bending forward a bit, can immediately impact nerve pressure and relieve significant pain. It really underscores how critical those few millimeters of space are within the spinal canal for our basic ability to stand and walk comfortably. It's a condition that powerfully demonstrates the relationship between anatomical structure and daily function.